Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1527, the Black Plague came to Martin Luther's town of Wittenberg. Then, like now, people were worried. Advice came from every corner. It was difficult to discern real, honest information from the 16th century version of fake news. As a priest and pastor to many, Martin Luther himself was called upon to offer wisdom and advice. Preserved from history is a letter that he wrote to a friend explaining how he would respond to such complicated circumstances. "I shall ask God mercifully to protect us," Luther writes. "Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance inflict and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me, and I have done what has been expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God." Neither brash nor foolhardy. Is our faith brash sometimes? Foolhardy? That is, hard or firm in its foolishness? Unfortunately, I think so. As with anything, we come to assume that we have truth on our side. We have all the right answers. We step out in faith, often not in the faith of God, but in the faith of ourselves. I've been thinking this week about the movie Jurassic Park. Specifically, the scene late in the movie when the dinosaurs have all escaped their enclosures and are running rampant on the island. Characters have already died. All hope seems lost. But in this scene, the creator of Jurassic Park, John Hammond, both mourns the complete breakdown of the system they've created, but also brashly announces his intentions to put it all back together, stronger, better than before, even more perfectly. Only Ellie Sattler, the young botanist who has been brought in to give her recommendation for the park, reminds Hammond that the system, the power, the gates, the cages, the protections, the spectacle, it's all been just an illusion. And our brash reliance on that system is what has put us in this life-threatening predicament. Luther calls us not to a brash faith, a faith that tempts God to hold my beer and watch this, rather to a faith that relies only on the providence and protection of God. In these last days, we've been asked to consider exactly where we put our faith. Wealth, government, technology, medicine, neighbors, even our own assumptions of personal health and strength. Many of your response has been brash and foolhardy. "Ah, it's not that bad," people say. "It's only like the flu or the cold." "If I get it, I get it," others say. "Nothing's going to keep me from partying like I want to." "Don't worry about it," some say. "This too shall pass." Luther's response to a situation very similar to our own, however, is to recognize the brash and foolhardy nature of our faith in self, and then to throw that right out the window in order to embrace a faith that only God can give. A faith that calls us to use the resources that are at our disposal, but also to generously reach out to our neighbors with hands and voices and sharing that brings hope and healing and life. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do as well. In this very long and detailed story about a man born blind, and Jesus who heals him, and the religious leaders who are offended by the exuberant response of joy with which this man responds, it's a lot of things, and there are many ways to hear and interpret this story. But I think that today as we huddle in our homes, separated from friends and family, fearful of a virus that's out to get us, uncertain about jobs and retirement funds and what in the world online school looks like, reaching for something to trust in. Today, this story is simply about faith. Faith where it needs to be. Faith in the only thing that really makes a difference. As the story goes, there's a man who's been blind all his life and therefore unable to be part of any meaningful sense of community. Jesus comes along and heals him, restores his sight. But when his sight has been granted back to him, Jesus is somehow nowhere to be found. Still, it's evident to friends and neighbors what a miraculous transformation has taken place. And they ask him, "Who did this? How did you receive your sight?" He enthusiastically responds by telling them about Jesus who put mud on his eyes and told him to go and wash in this pool called Siloam. On its own, that would be a nice little miracle story, wouldn't it? Good for that man. Now he can see. Now he doesn't have to beg. Now he can do all of the things that everyone else can. Only there's this group of people who represent the Jurassic Park-ish system, the religious leaders, the ones who make the rules and make sure everyone else follows them. For them to see this man who has formerly been blind, giving credit to Jesus, a healer certainly not endorsed by the makers of the rules. Well, this is tantamount to treason. You see, they think they deserve the credit for any good thing that happens in the world. How dare this Jesus come delivering blessings and taking all the credit? Now, like I said, there's a lot more to this story. But for today, it's enough to recognize that in a time of deep darkness, when this blind man was given a miraculous gift, more than anything else, this man's faith rests in the arms of Jesus. It's not that the rules or even the rule makers are somehow bad. On the contrary, just like our rules of staying apart from one another, social distance, certainly not making mud and wiping on anybody's eyes, all of it is for the purpose of saving lives. The rules and the rule makers certainly have a part to play. But at the end of the day, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have to admit that our systems, the Jurassic Park that we've even built around us, all of it will fail us. Communities will shut down. Businesses will close. Jobs will be lost. People will die. That is the grim reality exposed in Luther's words. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. And the dinosaurs are on the loose in our world too. No brash or foolhardy faith can save us. Only the power of God's grace, that in the midst of crisis, in the face of a world that seems to be falling apart around us, calls us to reach out to our neighbor, offer help, and give generously. For God will see us through this dark valley and comfort us with rod and staff. And when our eyes are opened, we too we'll sing, "I once was blind, but now I see."